from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.
Hello, and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Gamble. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buscelli Wallerap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. Today I'll find out what it takes to flip the switch on the Circle of Light celebration.
Speaking of the holidays, I'll get a preview of White Christmas at Footlight.
And I'll find out about the Indiana Ballet Conservatory's Nutcracker. Plus, there'll be that arts calendar we call...
What'll we do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. For 52 years, thousands of spectators have gathered downtown at Monument Circle to see the most spectacular holiday display illuminate. But what does it take to flip the switch? Travis DiNicola spoke with Julia Saltgaver, Executive Director of Quality Connection, and Bob Schultz, Vice President, Marketing, Communications, and Events for Downtown Indy to find out more.
Julia, Bob, great to see you both. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays,
Happy
Travis.
Happy holidays, yeah.
Yeah, it is, it is. And of course, Circle of Lights is really what kicks off the holiday season every year, the Friday after Thanksgiving. You know, Bob, we have a lot of cool events in downtown Indianapolis. I mean, we've had a Super Bowl, we have Final Fours, we have all sorts of stuff. But this is kind of the biggest annual homegrown event, isn't it?
No question about it. It is the largest single-day free community event held every year in the state of Indiana. So here it is on Monument Circle. The time's coming up again, just a few days away, getting ready to celebrate the season and kick off our holidays in grand style now in its 52nd year.
52nd year. That's pretty cool.
It really is. And so it demonstrates the longstanding tradition that this has provided. And more importantly, it's become a tradition for people all around the country.
Yeah.
So it's not just ours. We don't own it here in just downtown. This is central Indiana. This is Indiana's celebration. And in many cases, it's something that draws people home from all over the country.
Are we really expecting like 100,000 people downtown for this? Is that the estimate?
No question about it. It happens year after year after year. And it's great to see that energy return year after year. And it's a great... It's a great arts event, and so some great entertainment that will be lined up, and none of it would be possible without the incredible support of our contractors from Quality Connection and the electrical workers of IBEW 481, who just spent hours after hours installing those lights, and yes, we've tested them, and they've tested them, and we've tested them again, and thankfully, because of their incredible support year after year, we're able to do this.
Well, it is a pretty cool thing. It's amazing that they do that, and Julia, you are here representing the contractors of Quality Connection. Explain to me what that is.
Well, I'd be happy to.
Well,
Quality Connection, it's really a pretty simple model when you break it down. There's the employer side, the management side. It's a management labor cooperative management. Employers like Barth, Long, Miller Eads, Ermco, Electric Plus, there are more than 100 contractors that make up Quality Connection.
Okay, and so these are all electric companies,
Electrical contractors. And then the workforce, as Bob referenced, the electricians that volunteered, but it's 2,500 IBEW 481 union electricians.
Wow.
And while they volunteer and install that decor in November, every day they're at work on great new projects all over the state of Indiana, but especially central Indiana.
So so you're the director of Quality Connection.
I am, yes.
And so you represent these electrical contractors. And so in many ways, I mean, most of the rest of the year, I imagine a lot of your work is sort of more behind the scenes,
trade-oriented the rest of the year. But you know, as Bob said, we've been involved for 52 years. From the very beginning when that decor was first installed, it was IBEW 481 and a contractor who stepped forward and said, "We'll do this." And they've done it every year. We've done it every year for 52 years. And as much as I marvel at the labor of love that it is to install, I appreciate the labor of love that it is that they also remove the decor.
That is a big part of it,
too. It is, yes.
Well, I mean, this is obviously something that means a lot to them. But, I mean, Julia, for you, this must be kind of the most enjoyable part of your job, and I would imagine, looking forward to the holidays and this big public event.
It certainly is, and it certainly is a wonderful way to give back to the community, but also give back in a way that's very authentic. To have such an opportunity to display the craft, the skill, the expertise, and the care that these contractors and 481 electricians have, and just how careful they are to work with the monument and, yeah. and the magnitude of the piece so that it showcases their capability is just, it's inspiring.
It's a really cool thing. And Bob, we're going to talk about the entertainment in a second. But right now, I want to talk about lights because there are, I mean, how many lights are here? I mean,
4,784 okay. lights.
Wow.
That are part of 52 strands of tinsel and lights that have been strung on the monument. Each one of those lights will light up at approximately 7:52 mm-hmm. on Friday night as Santa helps throw the switch with our coloring contest recipient and winner, and kicks off the holiday season. Of course, there's lights all around the monument then, and candy canes mm-hmm. and toy soldiers, and the festive atmosphere. It really kicks off, and interestingly enough, it not only kicks off there on the circle, but lights will light that night on Georgia Street. Lights will light that night with the beacon at the Orangutan Center. It will turn holiday motif. IPL's lights go on. You see these lights all following suit. It's almost like the moment has arrived and everyone jumps on board.
That is so fun. Now, I want to ask you, you said 52 strands
yes.
of lights. Obviously, that's very intentional to go with the 52nd year. Does that mean there's more lights this year, or is it always just been 52 and this year we just got lucky?
This is our celebratory year because 52 years, 52 strands, and they happen to line up and sync up, and they're they're perfectly suited and spaced throughout that circle. So this there's always been 52 strands.
You're always having, but this year it's even more important.
We're celebrating every single one of them, representing a year that this has taken place.
And you mentioned that the winner of the coloring contest gets to flip the switch with Santa.
Yes.
So I've always wondered this. Is that a real switch? I mean, does that switch, can you tell me?
So what? How do you define a real switch?
Well,
it's as real as it gets.
So it is a switch that mm-hmm. when it goes up, there is an electrical charge that mm-hmm. takes place pretty significantly and perhaps in more of a historical way.
I see.
It's a relay fashion. Yes,
but it does get relayed, so then mm-hmm. it connects to the other switch, which lights up. But,
yes.
So, I mean, legitimately, when that switch is flipped, it is turning on the lights.
Let me put it this way. If you flip the switch off, mm-hmm. the lights will not go off.
Fair enough. Okay.
Yes.
From that vantage point.
We just got to flip them on once.
Yes.
So that works. Julia, you mentioned that the union workers, the electrical workers of IPE, EW 481 have been a part of this from the very beginning. Can you tell me a little bit more about, do we know, I mean, how this first got started?
Or? Well, yeah, actually it was back in 1945 at the close of World War II. The leaders at the time, you have to think back, and everything was rationed, whether it was supplies, electricity, mm-hmm. actually to protect major cities from bombing raids, the lights were dimmed. So at the close of World War II, the city leaders said, they never wanted the monument to be dark again. And in fact, during the holidays, they wanted it to stand as a symbol of peace and brotherhood. It took 17 years of planning in order to really kind of conceive and implement what we know as Circle of Lights. But that familiar design you see today with 52 strands mm-hmm. is the design that debuted 52 years ago.
Hmm. That is very cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. And
I wonder if they had any idea
50th,
we'd be celebrating.
You know, I don't think they did. But when we celebrated the 50th, it was very interesting. We looked long and hard for Mr. 1962. We mm-hmm. wanted one of the IBEW 41 workers
sure.
who was on the original installation crew. And we found a couple of them. And they just the pride that they have and how they've passed that down through their family is incredible.
That's really cool. Okay, last question about the lights, and then we'll talk about the evening itself. Okay. So whose closet do all these lights get stored in?
Well,
fortunately not mine.
Yeah. Actually, again, along the lines of the care and the craft, they are very, very orchestrated and organized about how they store each of these 52 strands. They certainly don't, you know, wad it all up in a box and throw it into the garage for the winter like
right.
the rest of us do with our own little Christmas lights. It's very organized and very thoughtful, and we take that on and just keep it for the community.
That's very cool. Very good. Okay, now let's talk about the entertainment, because there's a lot of stuff that's great that's going on that night. I mean, obviously, everyone comes downtown to see the tree, the lights go on, but there's a lot of other things going on, including Josh Kaufman and performers from the symphony. Tell me more all about that, Bob.
Certainly. Well, this is...
And Santa. And
of course, Santa makes his official arrival for the holiday. there on the Circle of Lights. You know, this is a true event that is an arts event that is a spectacular showcase of talent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an event that not only do we have the professional talent you reference, but we have put out a call for entertainers to the community throughout the central Indiana region and state of Indiana. And it generated about 160 auditions of performers this year who vied for a chance to be one of those performers selected to be out there at Circle of Lights. And so
five
of them have been identified and have been in rehearsals for these past couple months. And they will make their debut on the same stage as Josh Kaufman, on the same stage as Yuletide performers, on the same stage as the mayor and Santa.
Nice.
And it all becomes a full production that is not only seen on TV, but seen obviously in that live environment as well.
That's right, yeah. And because if you can't get down to see it all, it is going to be on RTV6 as well.
That's right, and they're a great partner. They've been so for the last 25 years, airing this from 7 to 8 p.m. The festivities actually begin closer to 6 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
So there's a full show that then unfolds throughout the 6 to 7 o'clock stage, and then the show continues on and becomes a live production there on RTV6 from 7 to 8.
Very cool. And we think the lights will be flipped about 750 or so?
750-ish or so.
750-ish?
Depends on how quick Santa can get there. You know, he's pretty busy.
He is busy.
Busy,
you know, but of course, I mean, it's nice of him to, you know, take the time out of his schedule to come here because, you know, this has been listed as, from Travelocity, one of the top five must-see Christmas trees in the nation. So, of course Santa's going to be here.
We're flattered by that, and I think you and I all know it's not a tree. That necessarily, but we will deck
it
out like a tree.
A tree.
Yes.
You know, I do have to jump in here and say once when I was giving a tour mm-hmm. to a group of Girl Scouts, and I heard one Girl Scout say to the other, "That's not a tree." And the other girl looks at her and says, "Well, where's your imagination?"
Nice. Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's really good for
my
life.
Yeah.
Well, Christmas is about imagination, right?
So, yeah, we'll imagine.
Nothing wrong with that. So I think it's really cool that you got Josh Kaufman here performing. I mean, of course, the winner of The Voice here from Indianapolis. You know, performed in many clubs around town, the Chatterbox and such, and now is actually on Broadway in Pippin, but was able to come back in town.
Well, this is what's spectacular about Josh. He knows his roots and he appreciates that. He actually has played just a few feet from the monument there at Potbelly's as part of their lunchtime entertainment. So you can see how this has evolved for him, and he is thrilled. He gets just a couple of these opportunities to come off Broadway and mm-hmm. allow his understudy to take his place because the show will still go on Broadway, but this time without him, where he's coming back and to be part of this. He'd love to be back in Indianapolis more often, but he's unable to do so because of this great Broadway opportunity. But he knew Circle of Lights was this invitation he couldn't pass up, and he's going to do a couple different songs, Travis. He's going to do the one song that I think most people associate with him, the All of Me, that was the John Legend chart that he made famous through his voice appearance. And then quite spectacularly, he's going to do his own version of a Christmas song.
Nice.
And then participate in the finale and be there just to celebrate the whole event.
That's really cool.
That's
great that he's able to do that and wants to do that and we're able to get him in here.
Yes.
Bob, while I have you here, I do want to ask you, because when you're not planning the lighting of Circle of Lights, you do some other work with Downtown Indy, which many people used to know as Indianapolis Downtown Inc. Briefly, tell me about that change of name and what's going on with you guys.
Well, you know, the change of name is really just about the representation of our product. More and more, the familiarity of downtown. You say, where am I going to spend the evening? Downtown Indy. Where are you choosing to live? Downtown Indy. We hear that time and time again. We've embraced that and made our name equal our product. And so it's nothing dramatically different. It's just probably more consumer friendly when you hear about that name and associate yourself to how you act and involve yourself in downtown is a great place to live or learn or work or play or all four of those. And so the holidays is one of those areas where all of those areas come together. And
yeah.
This becomes a great bookend. Open the season, and the season this year will close with the holidays with a big New Year's Eve celebration down there on.
I've heard rumor of an IndyCar being dropped like a ball, slowly, of course.
Slowly.
To mark the new year. Is that right? On Georgia Street?
That is absolutely correct. I kind of shiver when I think of the word car drop, you know, to kind of associate with a ball drop. We're going to call it the great race to 2015 or something to that effect, and have the descent take place over
descent,
Georgia Street.
That's a much better word than drop. Thanks.
Yes, for bringing the new year to us.
Very good. Well, I might let Julia have the last word here. Julia, what are you looking forward to the most about Circle of Lights? I mean, there's so many cool elements about it, but what really stands out for you?
Thank you. This is my 20th year, so I've got a whole host of memories and visions and such, and I love the day because you look out and you can see just that family that is really touched by it, and you know that they're starting a tradition. You can look out and see the empty nesters that are there just as prevalent, and know that they're trying to carry on that tradition, and there's everything in between. And while we love knowing that we touch 100,000 people, I walk away knowing that each person had a wonderful experience, and that's what I think matters the most for us.
Travis DiNicola with Julia Saltgaver, Executive Director of Quality Connection, and Bob Schultz, Vice President for Marketing, Communication, and Events for Downtown Indy. The Circle of Lights, presented by the Contractors of Quality Connection and Electrical Workers of IBEW 481, takes place on Friday, November 28th. The event kicks off at 6 p.m., and the lights will come on approximately 7:50 p.m., More information is available at downtownindy.org. Again, downtownindy.org. You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio.
If you watch the film classic White Christmas to get into the mood for the holidays, you might just want to check out Footlight Musical's production of the stage version, which runs from November 22nd through December 14th. Sharon Gamble invited cast members Ted Jacobs and Jessica Hawkins in to tell her what's it like to interpret a classic from the screen and how they developed their characters who eventually fall in love.
Jessica, tell me your first experience of White Christmas. Did you see the film?
I actually grew up loving the film. It was that and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation were my family's favorite Christmas movies. So, yes, I grew up with those traditional songs and just loving the movie.
Those are two very different kind of iconic Christmas films. But I guess the connectivity is family can't live without them, can't. Something. Family. They drive you crazy, but they're yours.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Ted, did you grow up watching White Christmas?
You know, the funny thing is, no, I didn't. But when I was born, my father was in the, I'm not sure what the word is, but the Gulf or the Bay of Tonkin in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And the way that they announced to my dad that I had been born was, my aunt knew someone in the Defense Department and had them play over radio silence White Christmas. And that's how Dad knew that I was born.
Jessica and I are tearing up a little bit here. That's amazing.
Jessica's kind of emotional like that. Yes.
That is so cool.
Yes, that was one of those things that, you know what, I didn't remember that until just now. I didn't make it up, but it's just a true story. My aunt had to kind of work something out to make that happen with the Department of Defense. So,
oh wow, what a great creative way to say. And there's another little person in the world. The stage musical is a little unusual in that normally something's a stage play first and becomes a film later. Mm-hmm. Did you spend much time when you got cast in this kind of looking at your script and your score and going, well, that's not in the film or this is in the film? Or did you just accept them as two different entities?
I think I did look through to see what was the same and what was different. There are some changes, nothing ridiculous. It's fairly the same storyline, the same main people. Bob and Phil and Betty and Judy and the General and Martha and Susan, a lot of the same storylines. But yes, there's some fun differences, new songs that are not in the movie. So, I think it makes it new and fresh, but still memorable and nostalgic to the old film.
Sure.
I think if you've seen the movie and you watch the stage play, you're not going to see a whole lot of differences. But I think it's definitely a Christmas tradition that whether you have watched the movie or have watched the stage play, you're going to, you know, recall some really good Christmas traditions, and the emotion that goes along with it is a touching part of it. So
in case somebody who's listening to us is kind of sheepishly going, oh, I've never seen the movie or the stage play, can you remind us just general outlines about the plot?
Well, the plot is these two fellas that are running they were army buddies, and they were running a kind of a troop USO sort of thing during World War II, and they kind of parlayed that into a bigger career when they got back stateside after World War II. And they find out through some experiences and some connections that their general has moved up to northern Vermont and can't really find a lucrative job necessarily. He had opened an inn, and then they realize that he's kind of on the teetering edge of losing everything. And so they go up and decide to put together a show.
Well, they accidentally find out that the general is there because they follow two sisters that sing together up to Vermont, and that's when they find out he's there and hear about his plight and try and see if they can help him out.
It's that quintessential story of, hey, I've got a barn. Hey, I've got a show. Let's put on a...
And I can help someone I like and maybe impress a pretty lady. Tell me about your characters. Who do you play?
I play... Betty, Betty Haynes, one of the two sisters, and I am the protective older sister. I'm trying to make sure that my little sister Judy is taken care of. They don't really say it. I think Betty's been hurt before. She's a little, I think she guards her heart a little bit and maybe doesn't always trust people in the song and dance industry.
Probably good advice.
Yeah.
They're slippery, those folks.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's great, but she's very strong and stubborn, and she lets people know what she thinks sometimes.
And I gather from some things you said before we turned the microphones on, that might be a little bit of typecasting for you?
Actually, I am the middle of three girls.
Ah, okay. I am so you weren't the little mom.
I am the black sheep of my family, which wasn't hard to do. Yeah, definitely growing up with sisters and being older than one of my sisters. Yeah, there's a little bit of, you know, relation and understanding there.
Sure.
So, absolutely.
My character's Bob Wallace, and he is the one who is looking for love in all the wrong places and finds it with Betty, doesn't realize that he had found it with her initially. She kind of goes off thinking that he was a shifty fella, and then she realizes after a little while that he has a heart of gold. So I would say that would be typecasting, actually. I don't know if Jessica would agree with that or not.
And darn, our director neglected to show up today, so I had a tiebreaker on these plays.
I know what he'd say.
So have you guys worked together before?
No, we haven't.
No.
So what is... what's that process like? I mean, you have to have some believable chemistry on stage. How do you do that?
You know, to tell you the truth, I don't think I've ever been more nervous in a role as I have been in this one. I'm the director of theater at a high school here in the area, and I have been behind the scenes for 80-something shows, and so it's been a while since I've been back on stage. This summer I did something, and then rolling into this one, Footlights got quite a excellent reputation.
Absolutely.
And when I walked into auditions and I saw the folks that I was auditioning with, I was more than a little intimidated and still am. But we've really formed a great bond as a cast, and sometimes it's just easy to fall into things, and I think... For us, it has been.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica's a great young lady and incredibly talented. You ought to hear her sing. She's an unbelievable singer. So that's kind of nice.
Guess you have to come to the show.
That's right.
Yeah, what a shocking idea. So let's talk about, you mentioned there's some songs that aren't in the original. Give us an example.
One of my favorites is Love in the Weather. It's actually pretty early on. And that's just a song. It's before Betty and Bob meet. And... they're talking about how they're both a little, you know, love's great, but it's like the weather. It changes. You can't predict it.
Mm.
You know, you never know what's going to happen. It's kind of up in the air, like Indiana weather specifically. So that's, I think, a really enjoyable one because they both sing part of it, but they don't know about each other yet. But they're, yeah.
It's juxtaposed on stage where we're singing parts of it.
Yes, together,
so,
but we don't see each other.
So
it's almost
that
like
we're
a
singing.
Split screen
yes.
on a TV.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fun. What do you we're a little ways before your opening as we're having this conversation. Do you have much of your set in place yet? Do you know a lot about your set?
There's quite a bit of it. That's built. Of course, you know, the paint's not quite dry yet, but That's the nature of the beast.
Sure. Fantastic set.
Fantastic sets. Yeah, some really creative.
I can't give away some of it. I really can't.
Okay. I think they need to come. People need to come see it in order to truly appreciate.
Well, wow.
Yes.
And Footlight has an enormous stage too. So let's talk about you don't really get to rehearse with your instrumentalist till pretty late in the process, right?
A couple weeks beforehand.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too bad.
And they won't be there every night, but we have something called, it's called a sits probe. If anybody ever hears of a sits probe, it's when a cast sits down and sings all the music with the orchestra for the first time.
Uh-huh.
So I just learned that a couple years ago when I got into theater.
Sounds kind of like an alien, doesn't it?
It does. It really does, but it's not. So
do you and choreography, you're pretty, you've got it pretty well in your feet, in your bodies now, or still
some of us probably more than others. I wouldn't say that I'm a natural hoofer, but
yes, I think Phil and Judy, and we have a chorus full of fantastic dancers. They do a lot of hardcore tapping, some partnering on some songs. So they have worked really hard with the dancing. I think Bob and I are somewhat dancers. But
we're actually the two older characters.
Yes.
You know, we're the established characters in the play.
We're the mature ones.
The mature, refined.
Of course.
At least on stage.
Mm-hmm. Which explains your caution about love.
Precisely.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you do anything to kind of get yourself in the world of the time period of this piece?
I think besides watching the movie growing up,
mm-hmm.
I think I've always really loved, I love doing shows that are 40s, 50s, mm-hmm. 60s. I've done lots of theater where it's a different time period. So I think realizing things are the same in some instances, but things are a little bit more simplified.
Mm-hmm.
I think you get a little bit more sincerity to some of the characters sometimes. Because there's just not as much complication to things as there are today with technology and so many other things on our plate.
A bit of sense of nostalgia, I think, too, that, you know, you look back to what we consider to be a better time, even though it was probably more difficult, frankly, to live then without the technology that we have today. But I know that for me anyway, it was thinking about my grandfather being in World War II and the service that he gave to our country. And it's an amazing time period, and we have so much to be grateful for. So mm-hmm. I don't know that I necessarily studied anything from that era, but I'm with Jessica in that, you know, it seems to be, to me, to be a lot more fun and interesting to kind of look back and play a character that's not from 2014,
mm-hmm.
But rather from, you know, the 1940s and 50s. And hopefully we do a good job of portraying those characters.
Did you, of course, you know, final costumes and makeup and hair help, right?
Absolutely.
Especially
yes.
with me, yes.
Did you have to leave your inner director behind at some point?
Well, that's tough. I mean, it really is tough. Yes, Willie is doing a wonderful job as a director, and again, my experiences have been pretty much behind the scenes all my life, or not maybe all my life, but recently. And of course, you know, each director has their own view and their own vision on something, and so your job as an actor is to follow the leader, and mm-hmm. so that's kind of what I do. It is tough because, you know, my concepts are going to be different, but that's what you do when you're an actor. You follow the leader.
You do your job, yeah. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite moment in the show?
Oh, goodness. Really? I'm going to be trite and say the end when it finally snows. So.
Hence the name of the song, right?
Thus, yeah, White Christmas. There's another song even after White Christmas that's not in the movie. Won't give it away, but, yeah, it's a really special moment. When you have the whole cast together, you know, there's a lot of parts where we're not all together.
Sure.
So when everybody's finally together and some things have been resolved and you're in a happy place, it's a special moment.
Sharon Gamble with cast members Ted Jacobs and Jessica Hawkins from Footlight Musical's White Christmas. You can see the production from November 22nd through December 14th. The production thanks military personnel and veterans on Sunday, November 30th, with a Military Appreciation Day performance at 2:30. Current and retired military are encouraged to attend in uniform. Bring military ID for 75% off tickets for yourself and up to three family members. You can learn more about all that at footlight.org. That's footlite.org.
Hey, Travis.
Yes, Sharon.
I know when you were up in Michigan for Art Prize a couple of months ago, you were really wowed by Anila Aga's Intersections, and so we were both thrilled that it won the Art Prize.
That's right, and hoping to have her on Art of the Matter very soon, too,
excellent,
to talk about her experience.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, something happened at the exhibition recently that proves the power of art. A man was so moved by this work of art that he dropped to his knee and proposed to his girlfriend on the spot.
Sweet.
And she said yes. So
very
the story
cool.
has a happy ending. So we have some items on our calendar that might move you and your heart. Here's that calendar we call
What'll
We Do? Or Will You?
Or Will You? That's very sweet.
Isn't that
Let's
sweet?
See. Yeah,
I love
yeah.
That.
Let's see. I'm going to rethink everything I've got in this calendar in terms of would it be an interesting place to propose?
There you go.
Well, the first thing I have actually, Sharon, is Indetail, which is a fun group of people that have pulled together that they have a good time storytelling. They want to tell stories and get together with other people who like listening to great stories. And so this fall, they're having their first storytelling event at Fountain Square Brewery on November 26th, and the theme of the night will be Don't Burn the Turkey, Stories of Holidays Gone Awry. Of course, that is the night before Thanksgiving. All the stories will be told live without notes, so you can join them for some good tales and tasty drinks. Excellent company, 9 o'clock on Wednesday, November 26th, Fountain Square Brewery down on Barth Avenue. And guess who the MC is?
Oh, wait, I know this one.
wait, don't tell me. No, that's a different show.
Different show.
Sharon Gamble's the MC.
I am so looking
How
forward
fun.
To this.
That
I can't,
like a great
can't wait to hear other people's stories of dishes gone south.
And maybe we'll get someone will make a proposal too.
That, yes. You know.
You never know.
Stranger things have happened. Mm-hmm. Hey, if you and your sweetheart are literate, you might pop over to Indie Reads Books and propose there. And the new book anthology, Indie Writes Books, a book lover's anthology, which is a beautiful hardcover book with contributions from 29 Hoosier authors, including some of your favorites like John Green, Dan Wakefield, Barb Shoup, Will Shortz, Kathy Day, Ben Winters, and as they say, many, many more. That was supposed to be in a week or so, but rumor has it that the book that Santa delivered it early.
Mm.
So you can pop into Indie Reads Books at 911 Mass Ave and ask for your copy and maybe make a proposal.
Oh, what a lovely idea.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. Another interesting, fun, lovely place to make a proposal, I would imagine, would be in the lobby of the IRT. That's such a great space.
Yes.
And there's even a balcony if you wanted to, like, reenact the balcony scene. Why would you be there? Well, of course, you would be there for a Christmas Carol, because Christmas Carol officially actually opens right after Thanksgiving, but they're already in performances right now that are open to the public, and they are doing lots of really cool things, especially on the weekends. They're doing different holiday hoopla events. And so, for example, this weekend on Saturday the 22nd, Police and Fire Department Days and a Fezziwig Tea Party, which Aww. Is going to be really fun. Performances at 3, and then at the tea party afterwards, you can get autographs from the Fezziwig Tea Party people, and they have special ticket prices for police officers, firefighters, and their families. And then next Friday on the 28th, the day after Thanksgiving, when everyone's downtown for Circle of Lights anyway, mm-hmm. you can actually go to a performance right beforehand. They're doing a meet and greet at 4 with a live rabbit, a reindeer, and his elf. And then at
expecting the rabbit.
The rabbit kind of throws you. Yeah. And then at 5 o'clock, there's the performance of Christmas Carol, which will end just in time for you to walk over and see the turning on of the lights, which
nice.
Is a very cool idea.
What a great family
outing. I'm not
sure
where the rabbit comes in at all, but got to go see a Christmas
Cuddle
Carol.
Cuddle that bunny and keep it warm. Hey, so you now I have you thinking about proposing to your sweetie. Here is a one-stop shop. You go on this Friday and Saturday, the 21st and 22nd, to the Southwestern Silver Jewelry Trunk Show at the Eitelgeorg Museum. You can propose to your sweetie and pick out a ring.
Nice.
Especially if you like silver, one-of-a-kind silver American jewelry. The hours of that are Friday noon to 5 and Saturday 10 to 5. So if you're hearing us Saturday morning, there's still time. And you don't have to propose to somebody. You can just go buy jewelry for yourself. I hasten to add that.
Well, here's a very romantic idea featuring some romantic masters. It's a piano recital by Panyas Liris. And if you've heard Vicki Liris on Art of the Matter before, Vicki, of course, is the founder and director of the Indianapolis School of Ballet. This is her incredibly talented brother, who is a great piano player. He's going to be playing some Schumann and Brahms and Liszt and Chopin and lots of great stuff over at the Grand Hall at Indiana Landmarks. This concert is on Monday, November 24th, right before Thanksgiving, 7:30 p.m., and it will be a very lovely romantic concert. What a perfect place to propose.
Absolutely. Hmm. I love it. So I'm going to let your fertile imaginations draw the connection between my next item and proposals of various sorts. It's your last chance to catch the Robert Mapplethorpe photos from the Kinsey Institute collection. Yes, you went there in your head, I can tell.
Thanks, Sharon.
It's at IU's Grunewald Gallery through this weekend, through November 22nd. The Kinsey Institute received a gift of 30 photographs from the Mapplethorpe Foundation, and the exhibition marks the first time the group of photos has been publicly exhibited. If you haven't had a chance to go, last call, last chance.
Awesome.
What you propose is up to you.
That's exactly right. Well, speaking of proposals, I propose that if you want to learn more about local arts events, then you go to indiearts.org/guide. That's the Arts Council of Indianapolis's Indie Arts Guide website. Or you can listen to us next week, Sharon, on that calendar we call
What'll We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on wfyi.org.
Under the directorship of Alonia Yakuleva Randall, Indiana Ballet Conservatory's Nutcracker sets itself apart by offering unique experiences for Hoosier audiences. Travis DiNicola spoke with the ballet's Missy Rust to find out more.
Always great this time of year for fans of ballet because there are lots of nutcrackers, but I know you have a very special one coming up, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But let's talk just briefly about the Indiana Ballet Conservatory in terms of the work you do, where you're located, things like that.
We're located in Carmel, Indiana, but we're mm-hmm. on the south end of Carmel, so we're close to Indianapolis, and we have all of our performances here in Indianapolis. But we have students that come from all over, even from Bloomington, Far East Side, West Side. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, this summer we had 21 students from Japan. So they do come from all over, actually. It's a wonderful place to be, centrally located, and we put on performances several times a year. They're always mm-hmm. full-length ballets. We just completed, actually, Point to the Cure. I believe it was in September.
Yeah, no, this is the second year you've done that, right?
It is.
Tell me a bit about that, because that's a pretty special thing that you guys are doing.
It is. It's a phenomenal undertaking, because we are a non-for-profit, like mm-hmm. most ballet schools. And for us to actually go out and fundraise, not for ourselves, but for something else, has been a life-changing event, really, for the dancers, the teachers, everyone involved. We have all of our students, especially in our upper levels, they create mm-hmm. a performance that they dance beautiful pieces by Sergei Sergeyev and our founding artistic director, Alona Yakovleva Randall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very inspirational evening where we have not only this kind of cutting-edge choreography that's award-winning all over the country that we bring on the stage. We combine that with a Heroes Award program where we honor certain heroes in the cancer fight. Mm-hmm. All of the funds go to pediatric cancer research, but not just pediatric cancer research, but locally.
Okay.
And so this year has been a mm-hmm. factors where Riley Hospital as well as Peyton Manning Hospital. We also have Team Joey Foundation, part of the Heroes Foundation.
Nice.
It's just been an
amazing
event.
Chuck Pagano involved with that last year, right?
Yes, he was. Yeah. He actually he got to shave the head of one of our board members.
Nice.
It was Adam Perler, who's actually one of the gentlemen who spearheaded this entire event last year. So it's just been a phenomenal experience for everyone involved. And this year was very touching as well. This year, I should mention, it was exciting. Mm-hmm. I take it for granted because we get to see him all the time. But Josh Kaufman sang at the end.
Oh, he's great.
He is. He's fantastic. Mm-hmm. We think of him as Sophie's dad, but we forget that he also has an incredibly huge following.
Yeah.
But he's just so down to earth and such a nice guy that you tend to forget what a big deal he is until you get to hear him sing. And that was a really neat ending to the night.
That's really cool.
We raised a lot of money, so that's
exciting.
And,
of course, it's called Point to the Cure, and mm-hmm. it's point as in point shoes or
exactly.
being on point with an E on the end.
Yes.
Very clever, so very cool stuff. Now, your school's pretty full right now, right?
It is. Our evening program, we've had to combine classes, and we need additional studio space, additional mm-hmm. teachers. There's just never enough of anything, which is fantastic because that means people are coming to us. We actually have opened up a day program to solve that. I wouldn't say it's even a problem. It's an opportunity.
Yeah.
So now we have kids coming in the day from 9 to 9. We're open. Saturdays, we're there from 9 to 5. And we even do some of our private lessons on Sunday. So it's exciting.
Now, you mentioned Delonian, and she's the director and main choreographer and teacher. But you've also got some other great people working with you, too.
We do. We have some amazing people. In addition to Alona, we also have Tatiana Pauly. We have Sergei Sergeyev, and Alexei Moskalenko just joined our staff this year, which is very exciting. And then we also have Haley Agrin, who is from the United States and runs the children's program. So
tell me a little bit more about Alexei, because he just joined your program.
Yes.
And he's got some neat connections.
He does. His wife happens to be Tanya. She runs the Palladium and everything mm-hmm. in Carmel.
Just moved here about a little over a year,
yes.
year and a half ago or so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we were just fortunate to be able to get connected with him because of his background with the Bolshoi and what he brings to the table is not just a teacher and choreographer, but also as a former business owner owning his own school before. He's very well known in the ballet world and also through Youth America Grand Prix, which is the world's largest international scholarship competition program. So to have somebody like Alexei, Sergei, Tatiana, and Alona, it's just a powerhouse to have right here in Indiana. We have, like I mentioned earlier, kids who are traveling from Japan to come here and train.
Mm-hmm.
We have Amiko Fogarty, who's has an apartment here in Carmel now and trains with our teachers and is known all over the world right now as a up-and-coming ballet dancer. So it's when you travel across the country, and I don't do that often because I'm busy here, but mm-hmm. when I do, it gives you a sense of pride to be able to tell people where you're from, and then they say comments like, oh, there's ballet there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say who these teachers are, and they immediately can't believe that it's going on right here in the Midwest. So it's exciting.
There's a great Russian theme throughout the company, and both with the instructors
yes.
and sort of the style and the way that you approach things. I know that comes up with your performance of The Nutcracker.
Yes, yeah. It's based on the original production that mm-hmm. it premiered in 1892, which was over 120 years ago in Russia, in St. Petersburg. And our particular version, there are over 750 kinds of versions.
I read that.
Now.
That's so crazy. I
Is
mean,
it?
I guess I shouldn't be too surprised. I mean, but that's amazing. 750 different versions of the Nutcracker that are out there
yes.
right now.
And that's just in America that we
yeah.
know of. It took 50 years to go from Russia to here into the United States and actually went to San Francisco first and just started taking the country by storm. And here in Indiana, we have quite a few just here in our own backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Ours is very special because it actually transports you in time. It feels like you're in another place.
Mm.
Everything from the ambiance, from the lighting to the music to the characters, the dancing, the name of the characters, they're based off the original E.T.A. Hoffman book. Instead of Clara, we call her Masha, because in the original storyline, her name's Marie, and
okay.
in Russian, that's Masha.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about it just brings and evokes some kind of feeling from yesteryear. Even the costumes and the backdrops are from the Verdak Trust. We're so thankful to have that. That has a huge feeling of history here in Indiana from the Indiana Ballet Theater days from years ago.
Sure,
but
sure.
George Verdak, he had those backdrops hand-painted and custom-made to specifically look like the original production. And we get to show those
every backdrops year. Are pretty famous.
They are.
Yeah.
They are. And you feel a sense of responsibility and historical influence mm-hmm. when you have these to be able to make sure that you present them in the right light and make sure people understand how special it is to be able to see that. It really does transform the whole entire venue and transport you to another time. It's amazing.
Now, obviously, your students are going to be dancing this, but you also have some guest artists. Is that right?
We do. Lasha Koshishvili, he is from Boston Ballet. He's a mm-hmm. principal dancer there. I kid you not, I know that we have audience members who come just to our production because they are in hopes of seeing him again. Because every single production he does, he dances a little differently. He just has this sense of freedom. He's a true artist at heart. To see somebody with his kind of charisma and technique on stage is not something we get to see that often right here.
Mm-hmm.
So we're thankful that he will come back to us again this year. This is, I think, his third or fourth year with us.
That's awesome. Great.
And then Miko Fogarty isn't really a guest artist. She's actually a student of IBC's now. But right now she is traveling. She tends to get jobs throughout Japan, Thailand, and throughout the country to do guest spots. And so she's doing that right now, and she'll be back here shortly. She just left for maybe a week or so, and she'll be dancing. And to be able to see someone like her before she goes off onto her professional career is really a treat, too.
She'll be Masha, right?
Yes, of she course. Will. Mm-hmm. We also have another student, Olivia Behrman, who's a local dancer and is training with our school, and she'll also be Masha. Well, actually, it's adult Masha or Princess mm-hmm. Masha.
Sure, okay.
And the Sugar Plum. And she'll be that, I believe, on Friday and Sunday. So you can see homegrown dancers, dancers who have traveled here to train with our teachers, and people who our teachers have gone out of their way to find, bring here just for our audience.
Well, you know, talking about Miko and other dancers that you've had a number of students who've had some great success with dance competitions as well as moving on to professional careers.
Yes, we have. Our younger students at the school look up to those dancers, as you can imagine. And we follow their careers closely. We have students who are currently training and dancing at over the years at Ballet West, all over. We have one at Boston Ballet right now, just throughout the country mm-hmm. and regionally. We also have some students who have gone on to train elsewhere. We even have a young gentleman at Stuttgart training. And we just we aren't really a platform for students to go on to better things. It's more that they can actually come here and train too,
mm-hmm.
which is a unique position to be in the Midwest, which is really fantastic. But to watch their careers flourish is very special because you get to
cool.
know them. It's neat to see good things happen to good people.
Now, for Nutcracker, some of your performances are at the Marat Theater at Old National Center, and then you've got some that are at the Toby. You've been at the Toby the mm-hmm. past couple years, and so that's great that you're going to continue that. Those are December 12th through the 14th at the IMA's Toby Theater. But tell me about being back at the Marat. That's a pretty cool thing.
It's a very special
That's a great
cool
venue.
It is. I personally am so excited. I love to go there to watch things as well. And of course, the IMA holds a special place in our heart, and that's why we didn't just simply go to the Murat and not mm-hmm. go there. But the Murat, the Old National Center, is just such a beautiful venue. It holds more seats, and
sure.
really, that's what we were trying to do. We had as many as 6 showings last year at the IMA, and we just couldn't get in all of our audience members, and we couldn't do that to our kids, having them do 2 to 3 weekends in a row.
Right.
So this seemed like a good time to move forward, and we're very excited to be able to fill up a 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. show there at the Murat.
So 2 p.m. and 7 p.m., mm-hmm. and that's on December 6th, which is a Saturday.
Correct.
At the Murat. And there's a Nutcracker tea as well?
There is. Before the 2 p.m. show, we'll have a Nutcracker tea, and before mm-hmm. Before the 7 p.m. show, we'll have a VIP event. So you can add those options onto your tickets as well. And we're wanting to make it a very huge whole experience so that if somebody wants to make it very special for the holiday season, mm-hmm. they can add one of those on and be able to spend the afternoon there or the evening there. We're just very excited to be at that particular venue because it's been years since a local Nutcracker has been performed there. So this is going to be groundbreaking for us and hopefully for the community.
That's very cool. Yeah, it's such a beautiful stage to see ballet on.
I can't wait to see those backdrops there.
They'll look fantastic there. Yeah. Very, very good. Can you give us a little preview of what you have coming up at the conservatory after the holidays?
Yeah, well, after the holidays, we are excitedly getting geared up for Youth America Grand Prix, which I had mentioned earlier is the world's largest pre-professional ballet competition program, and that's for scholarships for young pre-professional students. That will be coming up in March and April. And then around May, we will be doing La Femme Malgarde at the Indianapolis Museum of Art again. And we have just continuous things coming up. I think I counted just the other day, we have over 11 outreach opportunities. And then that next month alone, everything from helping out with the charitable organization of the Ronald McDonald House to doing things at bookstores like Indy Reads and other places.
Excellent.
We hope to be able to just get out in the community and do what we can to help our backyard. It's very exciting to be able to see all these students learn and grow.
It is.
But our goal is to make sure they're growing as a whole person, not just as a dancer. And so we want to be able to give back and kind of instill that into them even at the youngest ages.
Travis DiNicola with Missy Rust from the Indiana Ballet Conservatory. Their production of The Nutcracker takes place this year at two venues, December 6th at the Murat Theater at Old National Center and December 12th through the 14th at the Indianapolis Museum of Arts, the Toby. Times and ticket information, including the special Nutcracker tea, are available at IndianaBalletConservatory.org, IndianaBalletConservatory.org.
Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Bocelli Wallrap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter next week, Thursday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 7 a.m., when I'll find out about the new Stutz Holiday Exhibition and sale.
I'll chat with a local actor who is part of the touring production of Elf the Musical.
And I'll find out about Dick Wolfsey's new book, Just in Time for a Stocking Stuffer.
All that and more, including that calendar of events that we call
What Do We Do? So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on 90.1 WFYI Public Radio.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Central Indiana and Indianapolis. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's show was edited by Melissa Davis and produced by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.